This is an audio recording of The Abandoned House, written by Melody Rose and read by Melody Rose. This is a Danny Phantom, Paranorman, and Gravity Fall crossover, with a wee bit of Supernatural thrown in. The Almost Adventures of Dipper, Danny, and Norman. It was sort of amazing in itself that these three boys met at all. They had all come to this old decrepit house, presumably all for the same reason, even though none of them said. But really, how many reasons were there to go to an old, supposedly haunted house? "I'm Norman," started the youngest boy, who couldn't be much older than 11. "Danny," was the quick reply that came from the oldest boy, who looked to be about 14.
"Hi, I'm a Dipper. You guys aren't like fugitives or anything, right?"
said the middle boy, who was probably about 12.
The comment was met with a pair of reproachful glares.
"Hey, just asking," quickly replied Dipper, throwing his hands up in mock surrender.
"Well, I don't know about you two, but I didn't come here to play 20 questions on the porch," Danny said as he made his way to the door.
Unwilling to be left outside, Norman and Dipper quickly followed. As they opened the door, it let out a horrible creaking groan of protest. The inside of the house wasn't any better off than the door. It was easy to tell that it had once been very nice, though slightly harder to imagine. They found themselves in the entrance hall. They could see a grand staircase leading to the upper floor. There was also quite a few doors down the hall, but only one that was open, which was just off to the left of the staircase. But that's not what they noticed first. What immediately grabbed their attention was the horrible rancid smell that was stifling the air. Dipper was torn between attempting to hold his breath or to use his hands as a makeshift gas mask. Norman, on the other hand, was quick to act by pulling his hoodie over his mouth and nose. Danny just grimaced and continued walking. Instinctively taking charge, much to Dipper's annoyance, Danny led the small group into a room that was open. Wordlessly, they split up and scattered across the room. The room was lined with bookshelves that mostly held books, some odds and ends, a lot of rocks and stones of all shapes and size. It also had a beautiful fireplace with carvings in the frame, and on the mantel were more rocks. And there were some chairs, a couch, a huge mahogany desk. The desk had some little odds and ends, some papers, and not so surprisingly, more rocks. There was also paper scattered across the floor and a thick layer of dust that had settled over everything.
"Hey, who wants to bet whoever used to live here collected rocks?" Dipper muttered as he made his way to the desk.
"Food."
A muffled reply came from Norman.
"What?" Dipper questioned.
"I said," Norman said as he removed his hoodie from his face, "what was your first clue?"
Dipper laughed as he started his search through the desk.
"I don't know. It's just this gut feeling I have."
The boys all chuckled from their spots in the room. Danny was looking through the bookshelves, and Dipper through the desk, and Norman was going through the paper on the floor. They mostly worked in silence, except for a few sneezes, a couple of sarcastic comments. They were all kind of jumpy, but Dipper figured that was to be expected in a possibly haunted house, and besides that, they had all gotten past the fence, one way or the other. That was meant to keep people out. That being said, Dipper felt justified about the small scream that he let out when a deep voice called,
"Hey, what are you kids doing here?"
All along with Dipper's scream came Norman's sharp gasp of air and slight jump, and Danny didn't really make an audible sound. He just kind of quickly turned and shifted into a fighting crouch, ready to spring at a moment's notice, which was sort of interesting, but Dipper figured it was probably just because he was kind of scrawny and probably got picked on a lot at school. But before anyone could get hysterical, a tall figure, which really reminded Dipper of a moose, stepped into the room from the shadow of the doorway. The man was wearing a t-shirt with a plaid button-up shirt over the top, with the sleeves rolled up and a pair of jeans. He quickly reached into his pocket and pulled out a leather wallet, which he flipped open to reveal a badge.
"Police. You boys all realize you're on private property, right?"
he said as he looked them all in the eye. Dipper was always more on the small side, but he had never really felt so tiny, and judging by Norman's face, he wasn't feeling much better. Even Danny was slipping out of his fighting stance to look a little more like a scolded child than anything. The cop soon focused his gaze on Danny and started to ask questions.
"Nothing special, the usual. Do your parents know where you are? How did you get past the fence? Do you have any more friends with you?"
Questions you would expect to be asked if you ever got caught somewhere you weren't supposed to be. Danny replied quickly and smoothly.
Sort of. I told him I was going to hang out with my friends. We jumped the fence. No, it's just us. Dipper wasn't going to point out that, yeah, Dipper jumped the fence. He had the scrape need to prove it, but he didn't know how the others got past, or that they themselves just met on the porch, and by the looks of it, neither was Norman. While the officer questioned Danny, Dipper took this opportunity to grab the smooth stones from the desk. Right after that, the officer decided he had questioned Danny enough and led them out of the house and through the gate, all the while lecturing them about what they'd done. You're just lucky that none of you were hurt. Old houses like this had weak spots on the floor. One wrong step and you're through the floor. Honestly, I don't know why the city just hasn't torn down this old house. He went on like that the whole way, to the point it was more obnoxious than chastising. He kept going even when they were off the property. Look, he said, finally winding down, I know that supposedly haunted house sound like fun, but they're really dangerous. Just promise me you won't come here again. And it was at that point he had the most ridiculous puppy-eyed look that any of them had ever seen, and strangely enough, the most effective. They all quickly agreed, and thankfully he left without another lecture to go back inside, to make sure that there was actually no more kids in there. Not because I don't believe you, but I have to double check. It's my job. Well, that was interesting, Dipper said, looking back to the house. Yeah, Norman laughed out. Who knew grown men could possess such effective puppy eyes? Yeah, totally beats out anything my mom tries to pull on me, Danny started to chuckle. Soon the boys were all laughing and recounting their short-lived adventure. Is it really that late? Norman asked as he looked up at the setting sun as their laughter died down. I've got to get going. My mom's going to have a panic attack if I come home late again. Yeah, I can't be out past curfew again or my sister will flip out. Seriously, she's worse than my parents, Danny said, now looking at the sky as well. Me too. I don't think my uncle will care. The Mabel's going to harass me until she feels like she's squeezed every bit of information from me, Dipper said, looking as well to the orange and pink horizon. Oh, hey, before I forget, Dipper said, bringing the others' to attention back to him. I got us something. You remember when I said I had this gut feeling about whoever living here collecting rocks? Dipper said, with a smirk, adding as much sarcasm into one sentence as possible. I think I was right. So I grabbed us some while Danny was talking to the cop. He pulled out three stones. He handed Danny a green and black swirl stone. Norman got a blue one with some silver streaking in it. And Dipper kept the red one that had at least four different shades of red in it. A memento of a grand adventure that almost was. Danny smiled as he threw the stone up and down as if he was testing the weight. With a laugh, he said, to the adventure that almost was. He then turned and began walking down the road, leaving Dipper and Norman alone. I had fun, Norman said after a few moments of silence, no matter how short-lived the adventure was. He gave one last smile and a wave as he walked away. Dipper found himself standing alone on an empty street except for one black 1967 Chevy Impala. It would have been an awesome adventure, Danny said, smiling as he headed back to the motel he was staying at. Mabel kept calling it their vacation within a vacation. Grunkle Stan called it a lucrative business opportunity. 1 week later. It was late at night, and Dipper was laying in bed, still beating himself up over not getting either of the boys' numbers, email, or hell. Even the last name would have been helpful. He could at least talk to them about this nagging feeling that he had. Something about that police officer. He knew he was missing something. Something obvious. It was just nagging at the back of his head. But what was it? Dipper felt like he could almost taste it. It was right there on the tip of his tongue. All of a sudden, as if he'd been struck by lightning, he knew what was wrong. It was the gate. The gate was open. Dipper had to jump to get over, but when they came back through, the gate was wide open. The chain was hanging off the gate, but it hadn't been unlocked. The chain had been cut. He wasn't a real police officer, Dipper shouted, bolting out of bed, until his feet got caught and he tangled and he ended up face-planting. Bonus.
Hey, Sammy, so was it a bunch of kids?
Dean asked, straightening up from where he was leaning on the door frame.
Yeah. Did you find the body?
Sam asked, stepping farther into the room.
I couldn't find anything. Cass was working on it, though,
Dean said. Immediately after that, they both heard a flutter of wings.
Did you find it, Cass?
Dean asked, turning to face Cass, who was standing directly beside him.
Yes. The body is located in an unmarked grave a few miles south of this location, Castiel stated in a deep baritone voice, and the boys were off. It wasn't until many years later that anyone realized what had been started here that day. The end. So it was kind of short, but this really started out as a school paper, and it was only supposed to be a page long. It was about using words that nobody used anymore that I actually ended up editing out of the story, because seriously, nobody uses words like aplomb anymore. It is now officially part of a series. The sequel is called A Step in the Right Direction. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author, which is me. I really enjoyed writing it, and recording it was a lot harder work than I would thought it'd be. I'm going to get working on the sequel now to record it, and I'm writing the third part of the series. So thanks for listening. Bye!